Welcome back. It's a Monday, the 12th day of September, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And as is often the case, especially lately, folks, most of the really important stuff isn't getting anywhere close to the press coverage that it should. Of course, that's because they lie about it and cover up the stuff that's really going on in favor of stuff that doesn't matter. And we've known for a while that's especially true heading into a weekend. So I'll start off today with this from over the weekend and just before.
We just had a fake Biden-Fuhrer over a week ago declare war on the American people. It's unconstitutional, doesn't even begin to get it. The most unbelievable event, arguably, in American history. Literally, to have a Fuhrer standing up there shaking his fist, literally an imitation of Adolf, and saying things and doing things that people would have said couldn't possibly happen in a free country. How can this be? How can this guy be declaring war on half the population? And then there was this.
Beginning from Thursday into Friday, then with some follow-up courtesy of Tucker Carlson on Friday, who had one of the attorneys involved to talk about it on his show Friday night.
Steve Bannon, as you know, they drug him off in handcuffs for the crime of essentially working with Trump's campaign. Can't do that. We'll kill you. And he was on with Charlie Kirk earlier, and he said that in the last few hours, this was Thursday, 35 Trump supporters, people that were major members of MAGA, senior staff, and so forth, were raided by the FBI. 35 raided by the FBI, and then before the day was out, the update said, no, it's over 50 that have been raided. This, folks, sounds like something Stalin would do. And here's how Bannon put it. You saw the demonic speech Biden gave in Philadelphia. That's a dying regime. This was a primal scream. And here, they're trying to do this, no matter who it is, whether it's Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. There were 35 FBI raids last night, he said, right? And there's another grand jury coming up on January 6th, the Washington Post has reported. But 35 senior members of MAGA, he said, Republicans, supporters of Donald Trump, that the FBI rolled in on. They didn't need to do it. All these people have lawyers. They could have contacted the lawyers. But instead, he said, quote, the jackbooted Gestapo has to show up at their door and make a big display of all of this. And the lawyer on with Tucker Carlson pointed out that all of this activity that they're being raided for is, without question, protected by the First Amendment. Gee, as if that still mattered. And then the Department of Justice is telling reporters about the search warrants and raids before they're executed.
Shades of Roger Stone and the show swatting.
Point is, this is all the DOJ, Department of Just Us, and it literally looks pretty nasty. There was this. Now, this is kind of fascinating. I'm going to do this as a compare and contrast. From the Epoch Times, a legal expert has warned the country risks descending into anarchy amid escalating criticism of federal, I'm going to say it as disgustingly as I can, law enforcement. In the wake of the latest FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago. And facing heated allegations of bias is putting it mildly, folks, these are Gestapo. These are people out literally attacking their political enemies. And Stalin would have been proud. They banned political activity. What? The Department of Justice has supposedly banned political activity of all non-career political appointees. And I'm thinking, yeah, sure. Just like the Marines banned appearing on either side of the
Reichsfuhrer wannabe
and threatening the American people. Did you know that was a violation of their code of honor? It was a violation of DOD regulations? Didn't stop them, did it? Basically doing a political appearance and threatening the American people? The ban came, get this, as public distrust of law enforcement agencies has now hit new low levels. A recent Rasmussen poll said 53% of all voters agree with the statement that the FBI is, quote, Joe Biden's Gestapo. And I'm wondering,
what about the other 40-plus percent?
Well, aren't they paying attention? There's always the bunch who are basically saying, yeah, go get them. But what about the rest of them? 36% are the only number of voters who disagreed with the description of the FBI being a Gestapo. The rest said, well, yeah, I guess you could make a case. And they are certainly making the case. So essentially, this is the same Department of Justice that is telling you, we are very non-political. And they just finished raiding, literally, 4 dozen people that have to do with their political opposition. And said the lawyer on with Tucker Carlson, quite frankly, they just don't care. It's this out-of-touch behavior, said a former special U.S. agent to the Epoch Times. This out-of-touch behavior by the political class has caused the crisis that caused the DOJ to try to respond with this bogus ban.
Yeah, now that they've been caught and called out for it over and over and over again, Merrick Garland's trying to pretend he isn't what he so clearly is. America's homegrown Adolf Eichmann. From there, we'll turn to another face of the public-private partnership that also wants to make sure Americans are disarmed and therefore more susceptible to their new final solution. But just maybe, they seem to believe, the private part of the partnership might be more likely to get away with it. From the Epoch Times, Zero Hedge, and lots of others, an international standards body, oh yeah, ISO, you've probably heard the name, the International Organization for Standardization, and they're an NGO, which makes them a really great public-private partner based in Geneva, Switzerland, that creates standards, say the pieces, for various industries, including, of course, the financial services industry. Achtung, and you will not be able to buy or sell without our permission, has now approved a new merchant category code for very soon to be verboten things, like gun and ammunition stores. This, according to a September 9 announcement from Amalgamated Bank, a what-else New York-based bank that had applied to ISO for the new merchant category code. And guess who's really hot to trot on it? Visa, MasterCard, and American Express have all said they're going to adopt that new merchant code for gun sales, a move that gun control advocates say, oh, they've been jonesing for all along. It will better help them to track all of the peons and then all the better to disarm them. It seems to boil down to this, folks. You pay for anything involving firearms with plastic? Ha-ha! Gotcha! You slave, you. Und we know where you live. Payment processor Visa Incorporated announced their decision on Saturday to join MasterCard and American Express, which also say they plan to move forward with categorizing gun shop sales. It's called a major win for the disarmament crowd who want to make sure the peons can't fight back because it will, get this, better track suspicious surges of gun sales. Yeah, people realizing what's going to happen are trying to buy something while they still can. Because, oh yes, it could be a prelude to a mass shooting, or it could be a prelude to the mass resistance that they really want to nip in the bud. Visa said they'll adopt the ISO's new merchant code for gun sales, allowing them to explicitly track anything that they don't want you to have, because up until then, gun store sales were considered general merchandise. Not that Big Brother probably wasn't already watching for it. Especially, folks, if you have to fill out one of those unconstitutional yellow permission slips before you're allowed to even buy it. Oh, and this is the last part of the story, but it's truly revealing. Amalgamated Bank, which calls itself America's socially responsible bank. Yes, they're your public-private partner, and they know better than you do what's good for you and what you're not allowed to have. They said their decision to push for creating the new code is a result of nearly 3 years of research and partnership with experts at Guns Down America and the Giffords Law SICK Center, as well as broad support from other public partners like elected officials, pension funds, and others across the once free United States. And if there were ever any companies more deserving of being on the ash heap of history, well, they're probably in Big Pharma. But wait, there's more. Call it a public-private partner 1-2 punch. United Parcel Service, UPS, one of the largest remaining U.S. package delivery companies, has now changed their shipping regulations so that they're intended to hurt small to medium-sized gun manufacturers. According to another piece from Zero Hedge, this time via Ammoland News, which obtained a letter that UPS sent to customers in the firearms industry specifying how, as of the end of August, shipments of at least 50 handguns per day had to be sustained to use its second-day air service. And sellers who did not meet those new volume requirements risk losing, your shipping accounts. This is because they have updated their policy to adhere to the new regulations issued by their anti-constitutional but very public partner, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and, of course, a number of far-left states. And guess what? An anti-gun group, you just heard this name, called the Giffords Law Center, to prevent the Second Amendment, has pressured FedEx and UPS both to adopt their public-private partner strategy of refusing to ship dangerous firearms products that are, they say, fueling the epidemic of gun violence and blah-de-blah-de-blah. And guess what, folks? Firearms Advocate says the piece are claiming that anti-gun partners like Giffords are pressuring, who could have thought it, private corporations to change their ways in what's called, because that's what it is, backdoor gun control. Said Eric Pratt, Senior VP of Gun Owners of America, to Ammoland, this is yet another example of woke cancel culture coming from the anti-gun crowd. And he added, if UPS is going to act like an enemy of our once God-given constitutionally protected rights, well, he said, quote, they shouldn't receive a dime of federal taxpayers' money, unquote, and amen. This is about using the openly fascist tactic, a.k.a. the public-private partnership, to weaponize corporations and do what government, at least in theory, was once prevented by constitutional crystal-clear Bill of Rights prohibitions from even infringing in the slightest bit. From there on, we go to another aspect of the war on global populations, and of course, World War III as well. This one has a number of fronts. Ukraine's second largest city, Kharkiv, and the biggest population center closest to the Russian border, has been plunged as of Sunday night into total darkness amid alleged Russian attacks on key infrastructure, including large power stations. Said Reuters, the center of Ukraine's second city, Kharkiv, was plunged into darkness Sunday evening by an electricity blackout, and it's further reported that some city districts are also without water, creating a severe crisis for residents. Ukraine, of course, claims it's retaliation for defeat on the battlefield. Others are suggesting there just may be more here than meets the eye, or meets the press coverage. Cycles expert Martin Armstrong, via his website, armstrongeconomics.com, and of course Zero Hedge, notes that Vladimir Putin seems to believe Washington is sacrificing Europe in order to maintain global dominance. The U.S., he says, has always been the world police, the top country that others turn to in times of crisis, and America's post-World War II status left it as the financial capital of the world as well, while the dollar remained the world's fiat reserve currency, and at least so far, nothing has topped the dollar. Europe attempted to create their European Union in an attempt, he said, to prevent European conflicts, but it also created the euro to compete against the dollar, and he's explained a number of times, as has your host, and who knows how many others, folks, how their attempts have failed. Because the euro seems to have succumbed to the dollar and is on the decline. Nations may remain diplomatically related, he notes, but only Schwab, that would be Klaus Schwab, the world's biggest Nazi, wants the famous global reset and one world Reich, as opposed to nations competing for global dominance. Putin, he says, claims that the West rushed to place sanctions on Russia, and indeed, notes Martin Armstrong, there was a rush to place sanctions on Russia, despite the Biden Führer himself coming out and admitting the sanctions never work, but of course, that's probably a better reason as far as he's concerned for doing it anyway. Peace talks were obviously never an option. Returning land or promising to curtail NATO was never an option. But still, sanctions and threats were imposed. So it is fair to ask the question, why? And Putin responded, the plandemic, he didn't pronounce it right, but hey, I guess he's Russian, has been replaced by new challenges of a global nature carrying a threat to the whole world. I'm talking about the sanctions rush in the West, he said, and the West's blatantly aggressive attempts to impose their modus vivendi on other countries, to take away their sovereignty, to submit them to their will. He said this at the Russian Eastern Economic Forum in the port city of Vladivostok, as reported by CNBC. It's true, suggests Armstrong, that Europe is facing the brunt of these sanctions as they sacrificed their main supplier of energy. And listen carefully to this observation, folks. To save a nation with a GDP of roughly only $200 billion, Europe didn't want to allow Ukraine to join the euro, and they had no interest in this country prior to this conflict. The hatred, of course, for Russia runs deep in Europe, especially in Germany, after Russia took hold of the East after the last World War. And a lot of politicians are certainly old enough to remember when Germany was split in two until 1989. There's a reason Russia's integral support for the Axis power during World War II is diminished in Western history books. But back to the story here, Putin went on to say that the standard of living in Europe and overall social and economic stability was, quote, being thrown onto the fire of sanctions. And you got to admit it, he makes a darn good point. The U.S. was swift to sanction Russia since the war in Syria began. Obama tried but failed to kick Russia out of the SWIFT system in 2014. As a result, Russia got the message they've been working on alternatives, at least since then. Christine Lagarde offered their support, and Zelensky, who rang the NYSE bell this week remotely, admitted that he needed America to place harsh sanctions on Russia in order to accelerate the war. And as Armstrong notes in conclusion, the dollar remains strong, and for now at least, is the last safe haven, given that the war in Ukraine has only promoted capital to rush into the dollar. So, yes, is it true? Europe is being sacrificed in the name of preserving the U.S. dictatorship in global affairs, as Putin has claimed. Well, one thing's for sure. Europe will suffer far more than the United States, and they're suffering badly enough, due to these sanctions. In fact, he notes, had Biden not eliminated domestic oil production, the U.S. wouldn't be facing an energy crisis at all. So one thing is crystal clear. The support to Ukraine is not an act of kindness. There's an invisible, but not all that invisible, hand at play here. I'll suggest this, too, as a related story. See if you don't think similarly. It would appear, says another piece from Zero Hedge, that the Biden regime is getting more and more desperate as the midterms loom and the pace at which they're now draining the nation's so-called strategic reserve of crude oil or petroleum just went all the way to 11. It's not like we haven't done stories for quite a while now about how the regime intends to sacrifice the strategic petroleum reserve, kind of like how they've been sending America's defensive ammo away as well, so that when the emergency happens, it'll be empty and won't serve the purpose for, well, whether it was put there for the right reasons or not, it was supposed to be. It's not enough that Biden's been selling a whole lot of that oil to communist China, for example. Well, now we've seen the biggest drain on the strategic petroleum reserve in American history. Who could have thought it? Last week, it says, over 8.5 million barrels were withdrawn from the SPR. Again, the biggest such drain in American history. And the unprecedented collapse, says the piece, of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve has now reached its lowest since September 1984. Yeah, gas prices may be down, at least until these reserves completely are drained. Will Bubus Americanus thus forget what was done to him just in time for the midterm elections? Or will they have to do something a lot more extreme in order to make the elections not matter? But the price of gas at the pump is still up over 3/4 since the election was stolen and the Biden Fuhrer was installed as planned. And of course, it's not just America that needs to be aware of what's going on. The biggest exporter of liquefied natural gas, or LNG, Cheniere Energy, has now warned that limited supplies worldwide mean this winter could be, quote, really, really tight. According to Reuters, Cheniere, which has sent 70% of its output to Europe this year, also said that a resurgence in Chinese LNG demand, right on time, could exacerbate the energy crisis. And at the end of the day, they said, what's going to decide how tight the market will be is how cold it is and how government policies, including industry rationing, work. Noting that, hey, it's not even really gotten cold yet. Don't worry, though. After the elections, Janet Yellen is warning oil prices will probably go up, and maybe dramatically, this winter, as tougher sanctions still will be imposed on Russian oil. And that, of course, could, no, is intended to, folks, cause a spike in oil prices. And you know what that means for gas and diesel. And everything else, too. But still, it is worse, a lot worse, in Europe, where, for example, once free Switzerland has taken drastic measures to force people to use less gas this winter, including fines, even if you're just 1 degree higher than their mandated maximum temperature of 66.2 degrees Fahrenheit, 19 Celsius. Achtung, you will pay, and it might include 3 years in prison. While in Belgium, Prime Minister Alexander De Croo has warned that Europe is in a whole heap of trouble. He fears there is a severe risk of social unrest, saying a few weeks like this, and the European economy will just go into a full stop, and adds that they have no choice but intervention. I mean, was there really ever any other choice anyway? So let's turn next to at least, maybe, some good news. Every now and then the waste stream uncorks something that's just precious. And in this case, ironically, it's even RT, which isn't quite as left stream as, say, the WAPO or New York Times. But still, they've got a host here that was schooled in climate craziness and basically just seemed pretty flummoxed about it. This one comes courtesy of Tyler Durden and Zero Hedge and an RT anchor who, of course, believing that all of this is settled science, was probably, they note, expecting a rote response to his canned questions about man-made climate change. But was he in for a big surprise? Pierce Corbyn, astrophysicist, meteorologist, and as it turns out, the elder brother of former UK Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn, explained to the shocked RT anchor that climate has always been changing, but this has nothing to do with man. It has to do with changes in the Earth's climate that are generally dictated more by the surface of the sun than by effects of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And, added Corbin, for one thing, science doesn't do settled opinions, and for another, they're all wrong. But surely man has something to do with this, struggled the stunned anchor. And for the rest, folks, you just have to hear it. And in this case, since it helps to bring it all home, we'll even do the setup.
Russia's deadly wildfires, the smog-filled cities, and poor harvest are being seen by some environmentalists as signs of climate change. Let's now cross live to London to discuss this with Piers Corbin. He's an astrophysicist and also founder of Weather Action. Good to have you. Thanks very much indeed for joining us live there in London. So what we are seeing here is a drastic change in climate, aren't we?
Well, climate has always been changing, but this has nothing to do with man. In fact, we predicted that there would be extreme heat in East Europe and Russia this summer. And it's caused by a certain circulation pattern. CO2 does not cause circulation patterns. What causes those is a combination of solar activity and the state of the phases of the moon.
But hang on, Piers. Excuse me, just a minute. You say this isn't caused by man. How come they're reporting this heat wave is recognised as the worst in 1,000 years of recorded history in Russia? Man has got something to do with this, hasn't he?
No.
How's that for a succinct answer to the stunned host? But wait, there's more. Piers Corbin goes on to actually provide information, data, and scientific evidence to back up what he's saying.
Man has got something to do with this, hasn't he?
No, nothing to do with it. The only connection is man is here at the same time as the sun and the moon are doing things. You see, a very similar situation happened about 132 years ago, where there was the same sun, earth, lunar, magnetic states. There was heat waves in Russia, and there were also floods in Pakistan as now. And in the previous few years, there was also floods in the English summers, also 132 years ago. So these things are dictated by solar activity in the moon. They're nothing to do with mankind, and those who say that are just trying to make money out of carbon.
But the actual scientist actually goes on to suggest that there's more information required before they can make better predictions and so forth, as opposed to just, hey, we know what's going to happen, and we know who's giving us our grants, so we know what we're supposed to find, so y'all are going to have to freeze this winter.
But I assure you, it's nothing to do with carbon dioxide. And if you stop driving around Moscow, it won't affect next summer one jot.
Well, how come then so many climate change scientists disagree with you and they get so much support for what they say?
They're on a gravy train, for heaven's sake.
And it's great to hear the truth at least once in a while. Finally, this cautionary warning, because the breakdown of U.S. goods shipping and transportation isn't limited to just public-private socialist partners like UPS. The railroads, it seems, are on the brink of a major failure as well. Railroads and labor unions, says another piece here, worked through the weekend to try to make a deal, but there were little signs of progress. Rail companies are now taking steps, as of Monday morning, to secure shipments of hazardous and security-sensitive materials in the light of a real possibility of a rail labor strike, said the Association of American Railroads, or AAR, in a statement. On Sunday, Norfolk Southern released their statement detailing they had begun enacting, quote, contingency plans for a controlled shutdown of our network as of 1 minute after midnight on Friday, September 16th. The railroad said two labor unions are holding out for new contracts, but we still do not have a commitment not to strike and must act accordingly, they said, adding, our goal is to ensure that in the event of a major work stoppage, crews, equipment, and freight safely reach their destinations, at least for now, with minimal disruption. Union Pacific and CSX also announced contingency plans for a possible work stoppage, while BNSF told customers to call Congress. Oh, yeah, that'll fix it. So lawmakers can intervene to quickly resolve the service disruption if the labor strike materializes as anticipated on Friday. Guess what, folks? If that happens, or even if it doesn't happen, but just all the other things that are currently already in plan happen, you can expect that the shipping breakdown will accelerate. The price of just about everything, especially those things that get shipped or that use energy, which is most things anyway, will continue to not just go up, but accelerate towards the hyperinflationary collapse that we all know has been coming for so long and that the regime has been working so hard to bring about. Hey, they got a reset to happen, a great one, as a matter of fact, and they're not going to let anything, including an election, it would seem, stand in the way. Pay attention, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.